don't see why you colored folk don't want to be around us white folk. You won't go in our restaurants, and you won't see our doctors.
Beatrice huffed, exasperated by his stubbornness. She thought being selfless would be easier, but this man was making it impossible. Didn't he know this was a nice thing she was doing? Though it seemed completely out of place, the man laughed. Or at least he tried to. It was a low chuckle punctuated by pain, which stopped his laughter abruptly.
Child, oh, what it must be like to be so innocent. You need to go on and get out of here.
Blood bubbled out of his mouth as he spoke, and Beatrice felt the urgency of the situation growing. If people knew she was this close, this involved, and then the man died right here, she'd be in big trouble.
I can't just leave you here. I don't know if colored folks know about the Bible or anything, but it tells us to help people. I could tell you the story of the Good Samaritan, and then you'd understand better.
We know the Bible,
he barked back, and Beatrice swallowed hard, scared by the roughness of his voice.
So then you know I should help you. You know what compassion is, right? My daddy says you people don't have the same kinds of brains as we do, so it's okay if you don't know the word.
Beatrice tried to keep her voice slow and gentle so he could understand the best he could.
Child, go. It ain't your fault you don't know any better. But people are coming over here. You need to go on.
I'm gonna hold this towel on your head until someone fetches a doctor. I don't care if you don't want to see a white doctor.
Whatever the man's holdup was about white people, he'd have to put it aside, she decided.
Beatrice!
A familiar and angry voice rang out from behind her.
What the hell are you doing?
Though she couldn't see his face behind his white hood, she knew it was her daddy.
Daddy, this man fell down. We need to fetch the doctor.
At the mention of her name, the furrows in Peter's brow returned.
Ah, Carver. And how are you two getting on?
Hope inhaled slowly.
Where to start? She's a handful.
Peters let out a breathless laugh.
That's one word for her, I suppose. She's not giving you any trouble, though, is she? I'm not sure she likes me very much. Yes, well, that might have more to do with me than you. How do you mean?
Peters flashed his teeth like a frightened chimpanzee.
Well, before you arrived, she put in for promotion, and I think... No, I know. She thought the position was hers. I don't suppose I handled it very well. I guess she holds some resentment towards you. You mean she thinks I took her job?
Peter smiled innocently again. Hope rubbed his head. No wonder she was showing so much animosity. Great. Just what he needed. Peters lifted his hands.
If you need me to have a word with her? No, it's probably best if I sit down and speak to her. We've not got off to the best of starts. Might be best if we clear the air anyway. I know she can be difficult, Martin, but under all that front she's a good copper. Really, a damn good...
He stopped mid-sentence. The subject of their conversation had walked into the office. She looked rough. Tousled hair stuck out at odd angles, and it appeared she had used a trowel to apply her makeup. Her skin glistened, and dark rings circled her eyes. She stomped to her desk and threw her bag down before descending on the coffee pot like an alcoholic opening the first bottle of the morning. Hope's one eye widened at the sight of her.
You were saying?
Peters rubbed at his head as if trying to remove some imaginary ink stain.
I was hoping you might have a sobering influence on her.
Hope frowned.
Me? Christ, I've only just met the woman. And we've not exactly hit it off. I know, but...
Peters glanced back at her.
You might actually have more in common than you think.
Hope stared incredulously. Carver was having some sort of coughing fit, which only subsided after she spat a lump of phlegm into the waste paper bin. Her head then slumped down to the desk.
With respect, sir, I really don't see how.
You ran away from me at Celestial Bodies. You rifled through my bag. How do I know you're not setting me up now?
You bring police. Yuri there. I cannot talk.
Yuri?
Manager of club.
The bouncer. I considered it. She could be telling the truth. She was a woman. Defenseless. Alone. She had to go along with the program. Still, I hesitated. Mika shot me a look, then crossed her arms at her waist and started to strip off her t-shirt. Hold on. What do you think?
I am showing you something.
She proceeded to pull the shirt over her head and tossed it onto the chair. She wasn't wearing a bra.
Look.
She touched her left breast. I'm sorry.
Look,
she insisted. I glanced over. Tattooed on her left breast was a small torch, with two stars rising out of the flames. I swallowed. She flashed me a small smile, retrieved her shirt, and put it back on.
You see now.
I nodded dumbly. She tucked the shirt in her jeans.
I am thinking aren't dead because of me,
she said softly.
You? How? I am sending her to dentist.
Her bottom lip quivered.
But we not talk here.
She zipped up her jacket.
I see Starbucks close by. You meet me there.
Wait a minute. Am I in some kind of danger? She answered indirectly.
Your street have many places to hide. We go where there is people.